Welcome to the JRD Hogcast. I am your host, Dylan Lee, joined as always with my co-host, Jordan Russell, and our producer, Luke Riggs. Big weekend for those Razorbacks to, this weekend for them. Well, let's just start it out. We were lucky enough as the two of us, as officially JRD Hogcast, to go to our first baseball game. And, well, I feel like I learned something there. And I haven't been properly introducing you, Jordan. I'll admit that. And I think that there's only one way I can do that. So you're looking at me. You're kind of surprised, but I'm going to get you here. So let me get you your little bit of walk-up music.
Shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
You want me to let that play out a little bit for you? Let you jam?
I can fly with you. I'm going to sit here and let it long. I can put the whole thing
for catfish from dusk till dawn.
You want to give the backstory on that?
Yeah, I was about to get to it. All right, so we're sitting there at the baseball game inside the pen. It was my first one to actually go inside the pen and be a part of that. That's always a good atmosphere. And so we're just kind of BSing back and forth a little bit, and we're listening to some of the walk-up music, and we're impressed. You know, younger kids and everything, like... And they're playing some oldies. Country boys survive. But I look over to Jordan and I say, "All right, so if you had some walk up music, what would it be?" And without hesitation, he said, "Country Boy Will Survive." And I was like, "All right, so
can survive.
Sorry, all right, can survive." So I. Pretty much from that moment, I was like, you know what? Next podcast, I'm going to slip that in on him and give him some walk-up music so he can...
That surprised me. I didn't know that was coming.
That's the idea of a surprise, Jordan.
So we're going to have the intro music. You're going to do your welcome to the JRD, and you're going to flip-flop. I'm your host, co-host. You know, you can't decide what you want my job title to be. But then after you introduce me, I expect that every single podcast.
No. You're not getting walk-up music every day.
I need it. You just got me juiced.
Well, you're going to have to listen to that on your own time.
Before we start recording, right?
Yeah. Whatever you need to do, get hyped. So
I, too, learned something Friday night at the game. It was actually my first baseball game to go to. And took a six-pack of beer with me. And on my fifth beer, the Landmark security crew decided to tell me I had to have it in a cup.
Yeah. You got to have your red solo cups out there.
I did not know that. But then after he said it, I look around. I'm like, this makes sense. Everybody's drinking out of a cup except for me.
Yep. Well, going back to it, obviously we were able to watch a win, the first one of the series for the baseball team. Now, another thing, there wasn't too many highlights in it. It was, 4-2 final game. The aggressiveness is what really showed out, and the base paths, on the base paths. And they, I think that was the difference. You've always kind of pointed out our base coach. It kind of doesn't get enough of a nod there.
Nate Thompson.
Yeah, Nate Thompson. So, that's someone that you've kind of been talking up recently. And another thing about the game, we'll just fast forward into that. What about the Cronin situation there? You have an opinion on that one?
Why you gotta put me out like that, man? I don't, I know the score was 4-2 that night. But, you were there. We were watching. We pretty much had that the whole time. It was never really a... I don't feel like they were really tearing us up at the plate or anything. So I'm of the belief you save your strongest closer until you absolutely need him. And, I don't think he threw that many pitches, but looks like maybe 20 or so. But still, that's, that could be 20 pitches later on down the road. That's splitting hairs. But I would rather I'd rather not see Cronin out unless you absolutely need him.
So, does it kind of, does your argument kind of strengthen after today? Because didn't they bring out another closer besides Cronin today that kind of showed that he might have been able to be able to fit that role for Friday night?
Elijah Trest, yeah, he's a freshman, and that boy was throwing 95 pretty consistently. They even threw it up on the broadcast saying that the board turned red, flashing red. Once you get up there in the 95 and above, it flashes red. He had pretty good command of the ball, and, of course, you know, it always looks real good. I mean, Scroggins kicked butt. I mean, 11 strikeouts. He passed his career best with 8, and got 11 today. But Trest looked like he had good command on the ball. I mean, obviously, a couple of them kind of got away from him here and there. But overall, I mean, I didn't think about it until you just brought it up right now. But it does strengthen the argument with the Cronin thing. I guess you got to pitch him. You can't get away from a series without having to put your closer out there. I understand that. But I didn't think Friday needed to be a day for that. Yesterday, 12-7 score, the loss. Put him in, see what happens, but I think yesterday was probably too far away from him, too.
Yeah. So, and we also don't know with that Trest if being able to have an 11, it was 11-0 lead on at that, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, that might make you pitch a little easier at that point when you know you have all them insurance runs. But we picked up the series win on that baseball, and then. Let's see, moving on to basketball, which final game at Bud Walton Arena for the year, and Daniel Gafford decides to be a whole different level that we haven't seen at all this year. Like, he has had great games, but that was by far his best game of the season, and he saved it for the last one. And
that is scouting combine?
Yeah, he was making some money. That's what it was. So... I mean, the last points inside Bud Walton Arena for this year was made by Johnny Holmes, Johnny Buckets.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah. So
that's your boy. That's Silent Assassin right there.
So it was a good game, a lot of energy, fun one to watch. Anytime we're winning, it's fun to watch. But
that kind of to one of our earlier recordings, the Kentucky game, when you got all hyped up on Mountain Dew after that, doesn't that just irritate you that they play that well? It's the last game. You're like, where's that energy been at for the rest of the season?
Yeah, it kind of has that feel of a Bielma team, you know, really getting stuff together near the end of a season, and you're building in that hype into the next season, only to unfortunately be let down. Like, so the folks that say we're just finishing so strong this year and are going to be looking next year at the start and saying Isaiah Joe is going to be back, and we have Mason Jones being back, and we have all the, you know, some pieces back, but Gafford will be gone. I mean, we can pretty much say that. He sealed that with yesterday. I don't know. It might be deep in our archives. But I believe at one point I said this team was going to go to the NIT and win the NIT, which I believe is still a possibility, because the big dance is kind of out of the question. So
we put out on our Twitter earlier this week that we were having some technical difficulties with the podcast. You know, we're still kind of working out the kinks and everything. This is a good opportunity to point out what the technical difficulty is, and it's that me and you cannot talk at the same time without going over each other. So I get muted. That just played in your favor right there.
Yeah, you were about to let loose. I saw that grimace. So
I couldn't say nothing, though. No one could hear me.
Yeah, hopefully this is the last one where we kind of have a little bit of audio issues. We got some big things coming on later this week, so just kind of stay tuned for the, you know, I guess it'd be 2 episodes from now. And also, take a look at our Twitter. We're given the ability, and we're kind of going out there. There's a chance to go out there and snag some free stuff If you're a follower, be one of those first 100 followers of our Twitter handle, which is at JRD Hogcast, and give us a like, follow, retweet, all of that stuff. And you might be able to win yourself a gift certificate to Ivan's Old Time Meat Shop in Rogers. You also can get your car detailed by Elite Mobile Detailing, LLC. I believe they will come to you. And we can throw in some merch in there. So, again, like, follow, all that good stuff. Moving on.
Going fast on that Twitter, too, just so the people can know. So you might want to get in there pretty quick for if you want to qualify for the first 100.
Yeah, and it's definitely going to be the first 100. But Saturday, we're kind of dubbing that as an amazing sports day. It was really good. I think a championship highlights that, right? So the women's track and field team picked up the national championship in indoor track, which was great to see.
Awesome.
Yep. So, and then on top of that, we had the softball team winning their opener. And that kind of leads us into we missed it. But we had Half, the pitcher. She was, go ahead, you got that one there, Jordan?
I do. She was the player of the week for the week of February 25th to March 1st. And that she picked up player of the week, and that's her second one of the year so far.
Yeah. So when you're really looking at it, and the women teams are stepping up, and they're a good show out there across the board sports-wise. The gymnastics team, good. You know, they usually are on Friday nights, and that's a good show that they put on there. We also have the softball team, who's going up in the rankings. And then we have the women's basketball team, who has just had this amazing Cinderella run. So, you know, folks got to get out there, support them, and just show them a whole bunch of love there.
So Chelsea Dungy has been killing it. She had a phenomenal year. What do you think of everything that she's brought to the table for the women's basketball team?
So that is pretty great. What did I see in conference play? She was number two in scoring.
Number two with 21.6 points per game. Yeah,
That is phenomenal. Now that sounds like a SEC first team All American right there, doesn't it?
I mean, it does. It sounds that way, but I feel like
you could give me some more stats to strengthen this argument. So I bet there's more than just being second in scoring in conference play.
Well, so I know what you're trying to do there, but it doesn't necessarily work that way because that honor was given before the tournament.
Okay.
But, I mean, we can sit here and talk about it because, I mean, she was a beast. But she did break... today, actually, she broke the SEC tournament scoring record with 103 points. And she also broke the school single game scoring record at 41 points.
Which happened before they announced the honors. So, I mean, let's be real. This is another case of we having a standout and not getting the recognition that they deserve. Casey Martin, preseason, second team. They'll give us just enough, just a little taste.
I don't think Martin got anything, did he?
Did Martin not get anything? Was it Herstad?
Herstad and Cronin. I don't think Martin got anything.
Yeah, exactly. More hate. More Arkansas hate.
Man, you're not wrong, first of all.
Right.
That's like our recruits losing stars once they commit to us.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
But did you get a chance to see the game today against Mississippi State for the women's?
No, I did not. I saw the final score, however. I was working on the old truck, getting her running.
Yeah, you've been working on that forever. So they got whooped. I mean, they did. They got beat bad. But that Tierra McCowan girl for Mississippi State, she was. I mean, we couldn't stop her. We couldn't get her down low. Like you get the ball to her, I can't say this for sure, but I bet you if you watched her highlight from the game, she probably took two bounces. The rest of it was just catch, turn around, and score. Like we had nobody big enough to stop her, and I think Dungy scored 24. She had 24 points, 4 assists, and 6 rebounds. Yeah. That McCowan girl had 24 points and 14 rebounds. And we, the second half, Mike Neighbors did a good job of adjusting. They, it was kind of funny to see because we did like this 2-3 zone, never left the paint. We were basically begging their girls to shoot it. Problem is they did, and they were making it.
Yeah.
So Mississippi State's just a real good basketball team. But I'm proud of the girls. They came out. They made a strong run at the end of the season. And I think next year Neighbors might have a, you know, pretty what, obviously they're not going to win the SEC next year, I don't think. But he might have a pretty strong team, at least make a decent run in the NCAA tournament or something, though.
Tournament bid, do you think? Because it definitely looks like on the outside that they're probably almost in the same boat as the men in that kind of thing. Like they, I think they still have a chance at a women's NIT, but I don't necessarily.
Yeah, good point. A good place. The problem with the girls this year is they were, I think today, like 24 and 10 or 24 and 13 was their record somewhere in that neighborhood, but 10 of those losses were in the conference.
Yeah.
So we only get X amount of bids and stuff. So if they would have played the way they finished the year out, they might have had a chance to, you know, be a lower seed in the tournament.
They're a consistent team in that level. A lot of folks, the consistent scoring, having all your starters in double digits pretty often and on a regular basis definitely helps it out. But they're definitely anchored by Dungy and Monk. So,
and she's a sophomore, Dungy. So we got 2 more years with her. And I think Malika's sophomore too, right? Or is she a freshman?
No, Malika, I think, might even be. She's been in the system, I think, 3 years. So.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
Oh, what? Don't take anything I say serious anyway.
And don't hold me to that either. So.
Well, we can find that out. But the problem with today, too, is kind of frustrating, very reminiscent of watching men's, is we were getting good shots, just nothing would fall for us. Absolutely nothing would fall for us.
Do they have a Gabe Osaboya that just shouldn't take shots?
So, we done talking about that? Or? Obviously, I didn't watch as much of the women's as I did men's this year, but the few that I watched, it seemed like they were all pretty capable of scoring. I mean, obviously anchored by Dungy, like you said, but everybody was helping out with the scoring and stuff, it seemed like.
Yeah, it's definitely... They definitely deserve a NIT bid, and hopefully they can get stuff going and make a decent run in there, if not win the thing. And
you're,
when it really comes down to it, they can get that momentum going, win the NIT, run that right into next year. And, you know, Dungy's definitely going to be that anchor again next year. Moving along to the men's basketball, not necessarily Arkansas stuff, but LSU. LSU? Who's in some hot water? Willie Wade's in some hot water. I gave him that little swagger last time on the podcast, and it's gonna stick. He got that little greasy to him, you know. So he's Willie. He old Willie. Once you get wiretapped by the FBI, you've officially gone from Will to Willie. So old Willie Wade, trying to find some handlers, trying to grab that bag and hand it off to someone else, a.k.a. recruits. In case you didn't know, that's an NCAA no-no. So LSU has announced that he is indefinitely suspended. I don't know if that's enough or not. I feel like they're going to try to get ahead of the NCAA and do some shady LSU stuff and try to get away with it and be like, But we were making a run, and then we suspended the guy. So, I mean, don't take our scholarships. Don't affect our postseason play. We just want to play basketball for money. That's against NCAA rules. But don't worry about that.
Scenarios like that, do you blame recruits too? I mean, that's young kids, right? And it seems like a lot of them have lesser privileged childhood, you know, like seems like it's always the mom's working a few jobs or whatever, or sick grandma or something, you know. So they are 17, 18 year old kids. They're not stupid. I mean, I have grown up a lot since my teens, of course, but do you fault the recruits for falling into that trap?
Yeah, just as much, but they're impressionable. I mean, they're still young kids. You're still talking about 17-year-old, you know, boys and stuff. And but ultimately, if it's about providing and making money, and unfortunately in the system, like, don't get me wrong, NCAA is a terrible organization. So when it really comes to the nitty-gritty on that stuff, that's another episode podcast that we could do strictly on what's wrong with the NCAA from top to bottom on that stuff. But in the system that we have in place, rules are there for a reason. If a guy or kid wants to, you know, go provide for a family right off the bat, that might be in EuroLeague. And if you look at the NBA, some of the guys that they're bringing in and some of the top stars are either, you know, out of the European development system, and or they're strictly European. So you can definitely learn the game just as well and be making money overseas.
Is that a long way around a yes? Is that what you start? I think you started off with, yeah, you blame the...
It's like a halfway yes. It's my patented halfway yes, because...
Well, it's tough, though, because it could almost be a 50-50, 60-40 split on blame as far as on the recruit side of things. So it could be a kid that knows it's wrong, and like he shouldn't accept the money, shouldn't accept a loan to be paid off for parents or something like that. But they're also getting that pressure from their relatives, and they're like, man, no one will find out, man. They do this all the time. It's safe. Don't worry about it. And he's like, okay, well, if Uncle Joe says it's okay, then I guess I can do it. But, I mean, they can't obviously find the parents, the recruits' parents, in any form or fashion, really, because if they're accepting money, chances are they need money, so you can't do anything. You can't get anything out of them anyway. But I guess I'm like right in the middle on it.
Well, I mean, ultimately, the handler in this situation was a sleazy trying to be a sports agent, trying to get his foot in the door and that whole thing. And, I mean, he's going to spend some time in jail now, so.
And Willie Wade's like, I got you, homie.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think more falls onto the coach for, you know, running a program like that. And then also the backing. So this isn't coming out of Willie Wade's, you know, bank account. The money or however the improper stuff isn't from straight from his checkbook or anything like that. There's a booster or some kind of money being funneled to the recruits' parents or something along those lines. And we don't have full detail because they're still conducting that probe, but... I honestly think, I don't know where it'll happen, but with how in-depth, and you're talking about the FBI, like, at one point, I feel like a death penalty has to come along. Like, you almost have to prove a point kind of deal or get dangerously close to a death penalty and just be like, because that's the culture in NCAA basketball, but that's also developed by the NCAA because of the one and done rule with NBA. You've got to try to lure them into college so that these programs can make money, and it's a tough line that they have to dance. Like, honestly, I don't know. I honestly think that maybe they should just strictly go back to straight out of high school and completely scrap the one and done. But my strongest argument is the baseball one, which we've mentioned before, and just right. Having, you know, you can try to get drafted. If you don't get drafted, fine. You're locked into your university for 3 years and go be better. Like,
what I want to know more than anything, though, is how is Calipari still squeaky clean?
Because he is putting some WD, some WD-40 on them squeaky parts. So
does he? Better handler, a better money man.
I mean, everywhere he's gone, he's avoided a, like, he's jumped ship from UMass. He had NCAA hot on his tails for that. Memphis, that was obvious with Derrick Rose. So, I mean, he jumped there, and it, I just don't get it. I don't know how he's free. And you're, and it's not like the FBI is staying away from, they got Kansas. Like, Kansas got tied into this. Arizona, big basketball programs. I don't get how Kentucky got out of there. Same with Duke. I mean, and Coach K is kind of a god when it comes to basketball, but Duke and Kentucky to be not, like, in the same waters as LSU now,
That's my LSU went from really almost worse than Arkansas situation, you know, as far as records and stuff go. They went from that to this year they're winning the SEC, and now they're like, oh, well, I guess we need to look into that. But it's okay for a team like Kentucky or Duke, North Carolina, or something. I'm a North Carolina fan too, after Razorbacks, of course. But it's okay for them to consistently be killing it like this. Consistently getting these grown men that look like they're 30, but they're only 15 playing for the team, you know? Like, how come the lesser teams, and I'm not defending LSU, you know, kill them all, kill the seasons for the next 20 years, I don't care. But I don't understand how that process works. Like, this team was no good. All of a sudden, they're really good. This team's good every single year, getting the best recruits every single year. There's nothing to see here.
Right, yeah. And so, all of a sudden, you know, and it, you know what? I wonder, never mind. You're going to get me really worked into the NCAA corruption deal. And those are money-backed teams with Kentucky and the legacy and powerhouses that be. So NCAA profits off of them as well. So they want those programs to be, you know, good as well so that they can keep on going, paying them, you know, selling them tickets and also I'm going on a stretch and saying that there might not be, you know, maybe some bags that look like Kentucky bags that are sitting in the back door of the NCAA office that they just kind of picked up. So
behind each door is a logo. You got your Tar Heel, you got your Blue Devil, you got your Wildcat, who else?
Alabama scripted A for some football.
Oh, you're getting football bags too. Okay. we actually talked about doing a Kentucky Privilege and an Alabama Privilege show. So reach out to our Twitter followers and see what they think about having that kind of episode. We might could even mix in a little bit of Dylan's NCAA rant. But let us know what you think at JRD Hallcast on Twitter, and let us know what you think about doing an episode on that, because that could possibly turn into a 2-hour episode.
Yeah, and absolutely. Here in the coming days, weeks, we're going to be able to take some callers. We're going to eventually try to do this as kind of a live stream deal and really get folks interactive with it. So if you do want to see or hear some Kentucky-Alabama privilege-related strictly episode, or even if you want to be a part of it, like Jordan said, you can just DM us or add us at JRD Hogcast, or use that hashtag JRD Hogcast.
We talked about this before we started, though. You have the perfect face for radio. You sure you want to do a live stream?
I'll stay behind. No filming needed. You jerk.
Just go.
Well,
what you got on football? You hit me with some news today. I didn't. I guess I didn't catch that notification coming across my phone. But there, we brought in.
Yeah, there's plenty. There's plenty to go on, going along that the scrimmage and maybe some football news kind of maybe got pushed aside because there was a lot of winning going on and a lot of folks don't think you can win in a practice. But Chad Morris finds a way to do it, adding some depth at running back. Adding a transfer from Arizona State, so we're gonna take a player away from Herm Edwards and Traylon Smith, who kind of seems to have that scat back role. I'm told 4.4 speed, not a lot of stats from Arizona State, so it seems like just on pure measurables that he'd be able to fit into the system. And I'm, you know, you don't bring in guys like that in that position, especially we need the depth. Like, he's going to be able to come into spring practice and help out there. And we need it there. We only have, let's see, we got Whaley, we got Boyd, we got Hayden. They're, you know, Curtis, who they moved over from corner, so that's going to be interesting. And We have a recruit. Who we got? You help me out here. Speedy. All right.
Or Spivey. I'm still not sure. But see, I kind of disagree with you just a little bit about the depth, but I think we're sitting pretty considering what it looked like we were coming into after last year. But like you said, though, I don't know that we would bring a guy like that in without the anticipation of him getting some playing time. So,
I mean, you look at his size and everything, and it almost seems like we just got a replacement for TJ Hammonds.
That's a good point, yeah, especially with the speed aspect.
So, and then we are up to our third recruit for the 2020 class, I saw. Our first in-state guy, had a defensive end linebacker, kind of hybrid guy. Let's see, what was his name? I had it somewhere, Stewart. And he's out of Jonesboro, and he's the third one, like I said. We also have Vance, who's a cornerback out of Louisiana. And then our first commit was Capers, a wide receiver out of Georgia. Not too much going on scrimmage-wise. It was their first scrimmage, and for the most part, it was closed off to the media, so didn't get too many reports there. Whaley had apparently a nice run to start it off, but one thing, and I'm hurt. I don't know. They brought out a championship belt. Now you've seen all these turnover chains, and you know there's somebody has a backpack. Miami has the, you know, just the what's the word, a Bucci chain. So
Bucci.
Yeah, so you might have to look that one up, you know. So I'm throwing some slang your way, but they, you know, all these turnover chains and all this kind of stuff. Well, it's made its way to Arkansas, and basically we hand that belt off to the unit that won practice that day, and it seems like defense has been holding that belt for most of the spring practices right now, as they for the first scrimmage, they were able to force 3 fumbles and recover 3 fumbles. And, I mean, that's kind of commonplace, you know. They're getting right back into it, and ball security is going to be the first thing you really work on. So hopefully that gets shored up. And, I mean, yeah, that looks cool. You can write it into it, and, you know, you can write your article about it. Defense forced 3 fumbles and all that kind of stuff, but That should be shored up by the, you know, by August, and we shouldn't have that kind of issues. That's just kind of commonplace, and especially in a system like this, we didn't have eyes on it, and it could simply be timing issues, handoff wrong, something along those lines. So you don't necessarily get the full picture when you read an article that says defense forced 3 turnovers and it's fumbles. So
I thought you loved box score statisticians.
You bringing up all the pet peeves. Now, that's another one that we're thinking about doing, is a little bit of pet peeves in sports and that kind of thing. But, again.
So, I'm still stuck. Did you said Bucci, though, like with a B.
Yeah. Not Gucci.
Not Gucci. Bucci.
Oh, I am completely wrong. I think it's Bucci. Is it Bucci? I don't know. Somebody will correct us.
I didn't hear anything you just said. I'm still trying to. I'm about to Google Bougie and see.
I don't know if you want that Google history. So, I mean, you're single. Who knows? You're all right. So, but
no, the defense. Go ahead.
I was just gonna reiterate that I'm not a fan of these. I don't like the belts or whatnot. But hey, ultimately, it's whatever gets these guys hyped, and it's just like playing some good music in practice. If it gets them excited, it gets them excited. Just hopefully.
I'm sure there's always been something like that, even before Morris. Maybe we just didn't know about it.
It's the new version of Pride stickers. I mean, they're still on helmets, and you still got that, but you get the immediate satisfaction of being handed a nice piece of gold. I mean, I don't even know how much them things are, how that all works out, but you know.
You're the wrestler follower. You don't know, you don't have a running price on the championship belt?
Well, I've been thinking about one for a fantasy football league, and just maybe from what I've been seeing, it's anywhere from like 100 to 200 for just them. But well,
if you're doing that, I'm a size 34 waist because I'm the reigning champion of last year's.
Yeah.
regular season champion anyway. We don't need to talk about all those injuries that hurt me.
Whatever floats your boat, whatever makes you sleep at night, man.
Well, we could talk about that when we get off here, because I'm still actually a little sore. Speaking of sore, though, I do want to commend you. This is our second recording this week, and after Wednesday's Madden debacle, three games in a row, putting a zero burger up, you put a zero burger up. I'm impressed that you came to record. I didn't think you'd talk to me for a couple weeks.
You think I'd dodge you out a little bit? So,
I thought you would.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's another thing we kind of participate in from time to time. We'll jump onto Madden and play the draft champions there, which allows you to kind of pick a fantasy team, per se, out of three people. And it's a good old time. And don't let him thinking he got 0-3. I definitely have the head-to-head matchup on that. So, yeah, he just needs to pump his brakes, and he's due for, you know, the old butt-kicking. And I assure you, folks, I will deliver.
You just said that you got the head-to-head on me?
Definitely.
Are you just pulling these stats out? Is this a box score stat, too, that you're just kind of...
Don't accuse me of box scoring. No, this is not a box score deal. We can jump onto that and we can look at it. It's got the head-to-head right there.
So, when we get done, we're going to have to look at that, because I don't know that that's true.
Oh, boy. So, all right. So that's it for today. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure we got a little bit more to talk about, so I'll handle that later. So. What else we got? I talked about that championship belt and all that good stuff. Willie Wade.
You're not going to lie, the Willie Wade thing, I really anticipated that to go a little bit longer on your part, because you've been bowling about that all week.
Well, I mean, it's LSU. It doesn't surprise me. And just in general of him, the turnaround, it's tough to make that kind of turnaround. And you're going to hear about it, and for the folks that might be on the let's get rid of Mike Anderson train, the question is, at what cost do you want to do that? Like, do you want to have a guy that turns around a program like this, or how Mike Anderson's done it? So, for the most part, he's been there over 8 years, and it's been clean. So, at what cost?
Better coach, or do you think that there is a coach that could coach this current Razorbacks team better, though?
Available? Or can I just go pick somebody?
Just in general, because what I'm saying is no, obviously I'm not on the side of pay recruits and all that stuff to get a better player turnaround and stuff. I'm not saying that. But the get rid of Mike Anderson train is picking up steam because he keeps doing this year after year after year. So we don't want to have to pay recruits and all that stuff, because that's a terrible. I mean, look what the Bobby Petrino thing did to the Arkansas brand for a couple of years. But that wasn't a recruit thing, obviously. That was him being a little can't say on radio type thing. But there is a reason that Mike Anderson's catching some of this flack.
Yeah, I mean, one, I feel like we still get a lot of that Bobby Petrino flack, but ultimately,
deserving. So,
ultimately, when all these other programs are going after top talent, I'm assuming, like, Mike Anderson's at least, you know, going after them as well. But it's hard to compete when you have money changing hands. Like, that just makes it harder on him. So, the recruiting and everything, because it wasn't just LSU. We know this. Like, that North Carolina was doing shady stuff, and we have Kansas doing shady stuff. We have Arizona doing shady stuff. Oregon, like, there was many, you know, I believe it was close to 14 or 15 teams named in the FBI probe so far. So that overall makes recruiting tough, because if you're going to try to run a clean program, you're not going to, you know, have handlers. You're not going to have paying off mama's loan and that kind of stuff. So,
well, the thing is, though, and this has just happened within a year and a half under Morris, you see these big time recruits' names popping up, and they're finally having Arkansas mentioned with them, right? Even no matter what's going on with the basketball stuff, and you're right, basketball is the biggest issue as far as paying recruits, it seems like, because of the one and done rule. But we never pop up with these recruits' names. We couldn't even keep Monk. So, and obviously something happened there, right? You would assume. I guess we can assume. But Morris is getting the Arkansas name out there. Courtney Dyfel, the softball coach, she's bringing in big-time recruits. Mike Neighbors is making a splash. Why is Anderson not able to do that? And not to mention Dave Van Horn. That speaks for itself.
Well, Dave Van Horn had plenty of time. But, again, like I just said, it goes back to, if you know, it's easier to recruit in softball because the money's not changing hands in softball. You know, same. And with baseball, I would say it's along the same lines as because they have such a good rule. The real quality, high-end talent is going to go straight to the draft unless they're Kyler Murray. So when it comes to that, they have the right rule in place, and the NCAA, for whatever reason, doesn't want to just accept that model across all sports.
I think you're missing what I'm saying, though. Whether money is changing hands or not, we're not even being mentioned. Like, we're not, when I'm not saying that a recruit saying, a basketball recruit's, oh, we're in, Arkansas is in my top five or whatever. I'm saying, if we see this big time recruit, Zion Williams, do you think Anderson even tried to talk to that kid?
Yeah, we recruited Zion.
We did recruit Zion?
Yeah, we recruited Zion. Yeah.
You got facts to back that up? Because I didn't ever hear nothing.
No, I mean, not like I can't source it, you know. I'm not going to hit you with a freaking college essay here and, you know, be able to site source it for you, MLA. But yeah, we recruited Zion. We definitely did. So,
Well, okay, you might have got me on that one, but I didn't see it up anywhere. But you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I understand. And I can completely agree on the football side of things because I feel like in the last 2 years that Bielma, especially the last year recruiting-wise, was just phoning it in completely. He was just... That's why the cupboards were so empty. Like, you cannot run a power run game, and when you leave the program, get fired, only have seven or eight offensive linemen on scholarship. We're up to, I believe, almost 15 or 14 or 15 somewhere. Offensive lineman now, and that's 2 years removed from that. Like, he was definitely phoning it in. So in the aspect of like not being named in that, it was almost like Bielma probably didn't give a chance. Like, oh man, this guy's really good. Oh wait, Bama's on him. Never mind. Like, it had to have been almost a give up kind of deal. And the thing, and it might kind of strengthen your argument, but I could also see where Mike Anderson wants guys that, you know, plays that system because we've heard it fastest 40 or whatever it is. And I think that moniker kind of needs to go away because it's aggravating, but because it isn't. It's not the same style of play because the game isn't the same. 40 minutes of hell, fastest 40, whatever you want to call it, cannot be played in today's basketball.
It's played out. You need to be able to adjust. This is another Bielema comparison to Anderson. Let it go. What you like to do isn't working anymore. Let it go.
And he runs a great matchup zone. Like, he brought that along, what was that, 2 years ago? And that matchup zone kind of had some success. And it seems to have more success than the, you know, press or whatever you want to call it. You know, we just hope that we get a player that's dumb enough to get themselves trapped in the corner, really, when it comes to it. But all these, you know, programs, if they're a serious program, knows how to break a press. Like, so, it's tough.
I have written down here Willie Wade rant / Dylan, and this has turned into a Mike Anderson rant real quick.
Well,
started this. But it's relevant, though. I mean, I think you have to put him on a clock starting now. Like, whatever happens in the SEC tournament, doesn't matter. If we win one, yay, whatever. But the clock has to start now. He's got to bring people in, and he's got to make it to the tournament next year, where I say he has to go. And I don't mean make it low seed and get beat by North Carolina. I mean, make a run, win a game, two or three games. You know?
You want a team that's going to be full of sophomores to make a run in the.
They do that every year at North Carolina and Kentucky and Duke and all that. They're young.
They also sign checks there too. They also have African studies inside a janitor's closet. So you can, you know, you
coach a team. You're bringing back everybody except for Gap. If you can't coach a team to the NCAA tournament that you have had two calendar years with, you don't need to be coaching anyway.
I say they, man, it's very conservative, but I see that team making a, you know, the making a tournament bid. They will be in the tournament next year, but I think it's going to be a whole lot of the same, unfortunately. So
you're okay?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So
that mediocrity, man, that's terrible. Do you not? I mean, it's sad that we had to put up with what we had to put up with this football season. Most of everybody understood that that was going to happen. Two right. wins only, probably not so much, but a bad season. We look forward to a basketball season because we made the run last year. Gafford's coming back. Isaiah Joe is supposed to be this hot dog, which he did do well. Isaiah Joe did. We didn't even make the tournament. And you're sitting here right now on March 10th, 2019, saying, I think it'll be much of the same, but that's good enough. That's terrible.
We need some shooters. We need Pat Bradley. We need Scotty Thurman back. We need some shooters.
Can't live past, man. We gotta move forward.
That is the downfall to the team, is that we needed more shooters than just Mason Jones and Joe. And it was more Joe more than Jones most of the time. So
Jones wasn't supposed to be a scorer.
No.
And guess what he was?
Yeah, he did. He scored. So and then I really like Coach. Harris. I really like Harris as a player. He's a smart yep. facilitator, and he knows his role. And he did his thing. So he'll be back, and that'll make a run. I look at this team; they're making a run. too late.
Can't do that. Can't do that. You're done.
I'm looking at it, and the big obvious thing is that we're losing big men, and we don't really have folks that are filling back in that role. With, you know, Gafford's going to be gone, and we have Chaney, but who's going to be besides that on that side of thing? We have, I believe his name's Ethan Henderson. That, where is he? He's kind of missing. So.
Post Boye.
What? I knew you were gonna say something. If he could hit an elbow, then maybe. Actually, that's where he needs to stay. He needs to quit hitting or trying to shoot a three.
Are you complaining about a guy that can't shoot outside?
What?
Gafford outside. We're talking about helping out with Gafford's absence, right?
Right. We need a stretch that can take a shot. Bailey? Nope.
Chaney?
Yeah, but he's gonna have to be getting dirty next year. He's gonna be battling. So
he was battling this year. I've told you all year he was tougher than Gafford was.
Oh yeah, that's obvious.
You give him more minutes, he's gonna put up numbers very similar to Gafford. Mark it down.
He can't play the whole game though. So
yeah, well, he
is gonna be cardio. Is gonna be a lot of the same, because we're gonna have the platoon swap, and when we have that second team in, we're just gonna hope that defense holds up and maybe make a shot every now and again. Like, you got to have some shooters.
Recruiting.
All right. I am not helping my case at all here. So.
No, you're recruit what you're missing.
All right. So you want to fire Mike Anderson?
If he does not make a run next year.
What's a run to you?
Sweet 16.
A Sweet 16 run. Wow. I don't know.
You don't agree with that?
Well,
you're okay.
I agree with it, but I don't see firing Mike Anderson if they make the tournament. Say they win one and lose, you're going to fire him after that?
I am sick of it.
Who are you going to get? You know I was going to drop it to you.
Morris.
You're going to get Chad Morris to start coaching up some basketball.
Hey. Dave Van Horn likes basketball. He's talked about it. Put your boy in there. I don't care.
Wow. You know, if I brought up the whole Fire Mike Anderson thing, or if you did, that I would say, who are you going to get? And you couldn't give me one solid answer. I would have gone with Corliss Williamson, who is in the NBA, who is an Arkansas guy, and he's an assistant coach for, I believe it was the Pistons last I checked. I also would have went with Scottie Thurman. I also would have went with TJ Cleveland. All of those names would have been acceptable.
I said Scottie Thurman.
Oh, well, the whole technical difficulties here.
Now it's been to your advantage again. Look at that. No, I'm thinking Willie Wade might be available next year.
I heard something about Willie Wade might, you know, at this point, you want to call up old Phil Knight now?
I just want to say, though, because it sounds like I'm saying fire Mike Anderson. I'm not. I'm saying give this guy a year, one more year. Not come into next year and be like, well, the next year they're going to be pretty good. One more year, make a run. The round of 32 is not that impressive. There's 60-some teams or whatever that make the tournament. I mean, that's not that big a deal.
And I will admit, like, when it comes to things, I don't have my thumb quite on everything like I do with football, with recruiting-wise and stuff. The only real recruit I know that's coming in is Justice Hill, who is also going to be a football guy as well. So
right.
That honestly kind of scares me in the aspect of I would want a little bit more height than that guy's going to be in the point guard or guard role as well. So that's what's really worrying me, but how I don't know. You always have grad transfers that come in, and we seem to pick one up every now and again. Harris was a grad transfer. Hannes was a grad transfer. So it seems like he'll pick one of those up in the recruiting cycle at times. And like Jones was another guy as well. So like, it seems like that, and that might be just kind of where he's at with it. He wants to have some older guys that are maybe a little developed, because with the system that he wants to coach, you're not going to get first-year players in that system to make runs, because they've got to be in the system a while and have that continuity and that chemistry. And that's why this team was hyped so much, was because that they played AAU ball and all that stuff together, and he had all of that supposed chemistry there already. That's fine, but they were playing different ball. Different system.
But the biggest defense was how young they were, though. And I've been, you know, like, that's Anderson's fault. They were that young.
Mm-hmm.
So we're bringing back Jones. We're bringing back Joe. Bringing back Harris. Bringing back Chaney. Is Bailey going to be back?
Yeah, he has the possibility. We had zero seniors. We had right. Zero seniors.
He's probably not going anywhere. I mean, he's not draft or nothing. So, I mean, we're going to have 5-6 guys coming back. Hence my argument about the tournament run.
Right. So they should be enough in the system. And the run that they've made at the end of the season would say that. Like, you give me my bold prediction that I had earlier, and they win the NIT, and I will give you the Sweet 16 run. Like, that team can make a Sweet 16 run.
A while ago, you said you're okay with the round of 32.
Well, if they win the NIT, they'd better make a run next year, because it's going to be the same team, minus Gafford.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You done got me all upset now.
That's fine. I see you getting all worked up over there. So we'll coast off, and we'll just lead into our SEC calendar. And as always, woo pig suey. Alrighty, so we got the baseball team that will be starting their series with Western Illinois on Tuesday, March 12th, as well Wednesday, March 13th. We also have softball, who will play Tulsa Wednesday, March 13th. And we have the SEC basketball tournament that will start March 14th, Thursday. We'll be facing the 8-seed Florida. That's going to be on the SEC Network. And I believe that is starting off at noon. Till next time, woo pig suey.